Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Who thinks it's time for a new opening script? Okay. How long have you had that same opening script?
377 episodes.
Right, exactly. And I love that we have 300. Todd is a great part of our team. I just think we need a new episode. Why would you not change it?
Why would you change it?
Oh, wow. It says the established church pastor whose church goes down in flames.
So, Ed, last three episodes that we did together were live at Exponential, or the last four ones.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun, wasn't it?
It was pretty fun. It was good stuff. I think it gives a little kind of space to enjoy, particularly having the live questioners where we could like ask follow-ups. That was part of my favorite. Yep.
Yeah. Especially that one guy who literally was kneeling beside the table because he was like, am I done now? Or why do you keep on asking me questions? And he was
so many follow-ups. Was that the guy with like nine denominations?
Yeah. Yes.
He's like a member of every denomination there ultimately is.
Yeah. Obviously NASCAR, right?
So yeah, exactly. All the stickers on the NASCAR.
No, it was great. It was a fun time. And today we have a great question from Ryan Connell. So let's listen in.
Hey guys, this is Ryan out in San Angelo, Texas. In the news, seems like every week we see another ministry leader that has failed morally, has been shot out of the saddle, as Todd would say. And I just wonder, what are some good habits? What are some good strategies as we plant new churches to keep from seeing that happening again and again, especially as we try to move into more and more communities? So, love some of your insights and some good ways that we can at least minimize that happening. Thanks, guys.
All right. Good habits and strategies. You know, Ed, during our track at Exponential, we had Drew Hyun speak. He's the pastor of Hope Church NYC. And I mean, they've started, I think, 7-8 churches now, all autonomous within New York City area. And it's been so cool to say. And one of the things that he said in his presentation was that his subversive way to multiply his church was by having a 3-month sabbatical every 3 years.
Hmm.
So to just
sort of keep the time away that forces the church to think differently, or tell me about that.
So he planted it in that way. And you know what was funny? He said he had heard from somewhere that someone said, oh, you know, a 3-month sabbatical every 3 years or on a frequent basis is pretty good. And then, so he adopted that, he modified it, and he did it. And eventually he ended up talking back to that person. And the guy was like, I didn't say that. I'm like, sabbaticals usually every 7 years. But at that point, it was a little bit too late to change.
Wow. That is interesting.
Yeah.
Is
okay. Interesting. But this is what's cool.
I do think that sort of, I was talking to a pastor in Chicagoland who actually said that he's taken a sabbatical. He's older pastor. And he's taken a sabbatical so his church can get used to not having him in charge. And then he's planning to leave or transition in a year or so after that. And I thought that's pretty actually insightful, but in a sense, it does force people to think differently. Interesting.
So the really cool thing about that, when he did it in his first 3 years, so he co-planted it, and him and his co-planter both went on the 3-month sabbatical the same time. And what that allowed them to do was, in the 3 years, create the structure and the leadership in a place where the church would be able to thrive when they were gone. And when they came back, the church had actually grown. And the leaders that had taken charge while they were gone, one of them was actually praying about planting, praying about whether or not that was his next step, but he wasn't really sure. And it was only when they came back, and because the guy was in charge for 3 months, that he was like, okay, no, God has really confirmed in my heart that I am to plant. So they actually planted churches from that. And this summer, Drew is going on his next 3-year sabbatical. And honestly, it's like 7 to 9 churches now that they've planted, and it's been so encouraging, especially in the hard soil of New York City.
Yeah. No, I love that. So, and I think, so in and around those kind of areas, so getting away is good for him. It's actually good for raising up the church. Mm-hmm. But I think part of what he's talking about is just practices in general, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and so I, so again, this is one of either of us can answer. What, how would you think and respond to that answer?
Yeah, it goes back. I love the sabbatical example, but it really goes down to not a 3-month sabbatical every 3 years, but are you weekly resting? Are you weekly resting in the fact, because with church planting, with ministry leadership, just in general, there's a never ending list of dues, right? And it's so easy to form our identity around all that we have done and feel bad about ourselves when we don't get things done and feel like we need to do everything over and over and over again. But really, I mean, God loves the church. Ryan, God loves your church. God loves your people. God loves your city way more than you could ever. You are just joining him in the way that he is working. You get to participate in that. So I think part of it is recognizing that it's not your ministry, and that even, and that, you know, if God rested, I mean, God didn't have to rest on the seventh day, right? It's not like he was tired. I really believe that he did that to show us how much we needed to do that, because we have that penchant to just keep on going and going. So I think that's first and foremost, having good spiritual rhythms, having good moments for prayer, disciplines around that, just to recognize that no matter what you do, it's never done.
Yeah, so that's good. So that's personal protection. What about like Saddleback Ten Commandments, Billy Graham rule? Where does that kind of stuff fit in? Because he did talk about moral failures as well. Where does that kind of stuff fit in?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it definitely is being discipled. So not only, because I think as a leader of the church, you're always moving toward discipling others, but it's also being in relationships where I am also being discipled and I am in accountability. And there are always, and that I always have people around me who, and I asked them, I was like, no matter what happens, you're probably not impressed with me right now, but no matter what happens in the future, do not ever be impressed by me or in anything that I do. No matter, I mean, I need someone who can see me as I am, as a child of God, not with everything that the church does or doesn't do. I need those types of relationships. So making sure that you set that up before is going to be a good safeguard. What about you, Ed?
I think you kind of avoided my question. So let me come back to you so you give me an opportunity to do that again. Okay. What about like the Saddleback Ten Commandments? What about the Billy Graham rule? Where do you fit those into there?
Well, I mean, that's the accountability side of it, right? Having those relationships. The Billy Graham rule. Are you talking about the Billy Graham rule, like not traveling alone?
Or being with a woman, going to with a woman, not your wife, to dinner, those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, definitely. So even for Christina and I, it's if I have to have a meeting with a woman in our congregation or even through my work at Lifeway, it's in public. She knows about it. It's on our shared calendar so that she hears about it. She knows about it. And then she could even be praying for me during it. But it's always hey, if I have to, then those are the safeguards. I try not to bring others along so I'm not in those situations. But sometimes...
How does that work? The obvious question is, how does that work then with, you know, female members of your team who may not feel valued, et cetera, et cetera? So, how does all that work? How do you balance that out, I guess?
Yeah, so for me, within the work setting, especially female team members, so not congregation, for them, for the one-on-one meetings or the team meetings, I would just always be in a public space. Christina doesn't know all the times that I'm meeting with team members because she doesn't see my work schedule in that way, but I'm not going to be driving alone with them. I'm not going to be going out to coffee or to restaurants with them alone because of the perception that has. So it's usually within the office, but within a open space or maybe my door is open in the office.
So, and do you do that with men and women or just with women?
It's just with women. Yeah, I don't.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Right,
how about you?
I'm for curious. Here we're in an academic environment, so it's a little bit of a different setting. I have windows in my door, so anytime I have a meeting with anybody, it's kind of the same. For me, one of the things, and I work at the Billy Graham Center. I'm not going to criticize the Billy Graham role, but for me, I try to ask myself, how do I make sure that the women leaders on my team feel equally valued? So I seek to go above and beyond that, where there might be places where they might not be as connected. And I don't know, it's just an important issue, because I think right now we've seen these moral failures. And, you know, I showed up this graph, not graph, this image, this picture of this conference that Rick Warren hosted a few years ago. I was one of the 9 speakers, right? So it was Rick Warren and me, and then 7 others, and 4 of the 7 are actually had somehow gotten out of the ministry. A couple have been like restored. And it's kind of a tragic reality that we've got to ask some questions. Yet at the same time, we don't want to, I think, overreact as well.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then do you follow those same rules too? Or what advice would you give our listeners in terms of good habits and strategies so that we're not falling to moral failure?
Well, I do think your idea of proper rhythm and balance is really important. Mm-hmm. I think that, and that's right where you went to. And I'm sorry, pushing on the other way. I just think that's kind of the issue that people are asking today.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think having proper professional boundaries in the workplace between men and women is important. And people are going to have to kind of work through and figure out what's best for them at that. I would also say that I want to ask, you know, how do I elevate and raise up women leaders so I can hear their voices and they're valued, important members of the team? I would say some accountability. You know, you know the name of the pastor who once said to me that accountability groups are a waste of time. And he's been accountable. He's one of the good guys. But he said to me, because everyone I know that, you know, commits adultery was probably in some accountability group and lying to them. So, you know, so I think part of it is, though, I do like the idea that I'm accountable. You know, I have some people in my life that can speak into my, just as you mentioned, I have the same kind of thing. But I think at the end of the day, the church, and again, it's a little weird for me because I'm an interim pastor at a church, but I'm also a part of a church. The church needs to hold each other accountable, whether we're in accountable groups or not.
Yeah.
And ask some of those intentional questions as well.
All right. So just before we get to our last point here, let's listen to a quick word from our sponsor. You know, training your volunteers and leaders is important, but do you ever feel like you don't know where to start? Well, that's why Lifeway Leadership developed Ministry Grid. With Ministry Grid's library of over 3,000 training videos, the work has been done for you and you'll be able to train everyone in your church. And this is training you can trust. Each Ministry Grid video features an experienced ministry leader who has been where you are now. And you can even customize the training by adding videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. And now, Ministry Grid has one price that gives you unlimited access to train your entire church. That's one price, one plan, unlimited access. Just go to ministrygrid.com to learn more. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com. Now back to the podcast. All right. So Ed, when it comes to minimizing it from happening, I mean, it's one thing when you're talking about meeting with your staff, right? Male or female. And then the congregation is another side of it. But I mean, a lot of pastors will have these safeguards with women, right? But what about male pastors with male congregants, especially these days, right?
I just think you need to treat people with dignity and respect,
okay,
you know, professionally. Mm-hmm. And I think in all cases, you need to just acknowledge that we live in a broken and fallen world. So again, I have glass in my office door on purpose, intentionally. Anyone can know, you know, who I'm meeting. Of course, I'm not in a pastoral role, and that changes some of the dynamics here, because I'm in a, you know, professional colleagues and more men and women on my team doing great work. So I guess from there, I think ultimately it's just establishing boundaries. When you see those boundaries being getting close to the edge of those boundaries, to recognize that, to share that with somebody, to share that with your spouse and more, to be aware enough that you might want to step back from that as well. And ultimately, I think when you're in a good relationship with the Lord, that's going to help. That's why I think your first answer was right. It's when you're tired and worn out you know, then you make bad decisions.
Yeah.
So, you know, I listened to the Hamilton soundtrack over and over and over again. And there's a key thing that kind of reminds me that I look at the mess that Alexander Hamilton's in, but it kind of talks about, he made a lot of his own messes, but there's this one point where his wife's away, he's tired, and that's when he has an adulterous relationship.
Hmm.
And so since I listen to it so much, I'm reminded probably two or three times a week that when you're tired and you're not near your wife, that's a danger sign, and to not get into that danger.
Yeah. That's complete. Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. And you know what? Honestly, just because we have with our listeners, sometimes it's the spouses are planting together, and just because you're in proximity with one another, that's not the same as knowing one another and being close and being intimate with one another. There's a big difference, and sometimes it's easy to confuse that. It's like, oh no, we're always together. We're side by side. But are you connecting with one another, I think is a whole other issue.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I mean, the building of the relationship. Don and I were just talking. We're at the best point ever in our marriage. And, you know, we weren't always at. I mean, I would say 2 years ago, we weren't at the best point. You can't always be at the best point. But, you know, we're at a great place right now. And that gives us some wisdom and direction to make right decisions. And when you're in a bad place or a hard place, and we've been there, that's not the time to get into a situation where you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, thanks again for submitting that question, Ryan. We do hope that was helpful for you and for the rest of our listeners. And as a part of the, you know, the New Churches podcast is a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. And the Making Disciples podcast with Robbie Gallaty and Chris Swain is also a part of the network. Recently, they've talked about topics like, can you have fun in ministry? How gaming connects with discipleship lessons from Israel. Actually, Ed, have you been to Israel?
I have, yes. And I'm actually literally emailing right now about going back to Israel. I've been asked to speak at something.
Okay. So just super quickly, and you know, look up Making Disciples on your favorite podcasting app to learn more. But for you, Ed, Israel, how did that affect your relationship with God? Not just in the sense of knowledge, but did it affect your intimacy with him?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was actually, we went kind of on our own. We didn't go on a pilgrimage. We went on a tour.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the best experience. There was some violence there at the time, et cetera, et cetera. So we're looking at going back in May 2020, what we know will be a better, because so many people have life-changing experiences there.
Yeah.
But we didn't, which is one of the reasons we want to go back.
Okay. Okay. That's awesome. Well, we'll have to ask you again on the podcast once you get back. All right, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you guys next time.